It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, welcome into another edition of the Jazz Notes podcast. My name is Cleon Wall. We're in a new studio. I haven't really done it that much here in this studio here at KSL Broadcast House, and I'm still getting used to things. Sam Farnsworth is joining me here on the Jazz Notes podcast today. On Monday, we had Media Day. They've had practice since then with the Utah Jazz. Monday, I had Jeremiah in. I thought I'd bring you in here on Thursday to talk a little bit more about the Jazz. And the main thing I wanted to talk about, there are a lot of different storylines that we could talk about, but I actually wanted to bring up the fact, because we are just a couple of days away from the first preseason game. Right. First thing I wanted, and the main thing I wanted to talk about are, yes, I love doing this every once in a while. We should do it like every quarter or 20 games or something like that. ESPN released their what they called their preseason power rankings, but it just wasn't preseason. It was actually their training camp power rankings.
Right.
And so they put 1 through 30 teams, and they put the Jazz at number 7. The teams above them, Clippers, Bucks. So Clippers are number 1, then Bucks, Sixers, Lakers, Rockets, Nuggets, Jazz, and then Warriors and Celtics come in at 8 and 9. So if we take a look at that, Sam, and your educated guess, I know this is hard, but going into the season, I'm not saying that these teams shouldn't be there at the end of the season like this, because I look at the power rankings and I'm thinking, that looks like a pretty good list of where these teams could end up at the end of the season, except for maybe one team in there. But going into the season, should the are the Clippers better than the Utah Jazz right now?
So I would... Man, it's so hard when you phrase it going into the season, right? Because I do like to look at where I think they could end up and should possibly end up. Even going into the season, though, I mean, the Clippers, I think I would give them a slight edge over the Jazz right now. I mean, you know, with Kawhi there, obviously, that's a big addition. Paul George, now, I'm not sure if he's – I think he's missing the first few games of the year.
Probably, he's had some, you know, lingering effects from probably shoulder surgery.
But he's going to be there for the long haul, so I'll just assume, you know, that all is well there. I like Lou Williams on that team still. I think the Clippers can be and will be a very good team this year. So going into the season, I'd probably give them the edge over the Jazz.
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
But the reason why I'm going to say no is just basically what you said.
Right.
They're two main guys – have not been – I mean, you saw Kawhi the way he was. I know it's been a whole offseason, but you saw how he was kind of dragging around during the finals, still the best player. When he's healthy, when Paul George is healthy, without those two guys healthy, I know that they still have a lot of their same guys on the team, but the Jazz seem to have improved. I'm going to say the Jazz right now are a better team than the Clippers. I don't know how long that's going to last. Okay, let's just kind of combine the next two, because they're the two Eastern Conference favorites. Number two, number three are the Bucks and Sixers.
Yeah.
Are the Jazz better than both those teams right now?
I mean, I try to stay away from it, but I generally don't compare the Western teams to the Eastern teams,
boo.
I know. Ultimately, they got to meet each other in the finals. I know they play each other a couple times in the regular season, but it doesn't really matter unless they make it to the finals. So the Bucks, I would say yes on the Bucks.
Okay.
I think the Bucks are very good. Philly's one of those teams where, I mean, it just seems like every now and then things are just going great for them. And when they're running on all cylinders, they are a very good team. But they're a team that I still have my doubts about. I think they are the two best teams in the East, so I will put them up there. I don't know. Again, I have a hard time putting them against Western Conference teams. But I would say I'm okay with them going into the season being ranked ahead of the Jazz. And I'm really okay with a lot of teams being ranked ahead of the Jazz going into the season, because then maybe they're not paying attention to Utah as much, right?
But I'm going to say yes on both.
Okay.
And maybe I'm just – my view is just skewed right now. I'm going to say yes with the Bucks just because they have Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, no,
and the Jazz have no one that matches up with them. I mean – who's the closest? Maybe Rudy? And Rudy can't handle him from the outside, meaning if he's driving to the basket. So,
can't guard,
And I think if he's just such a tough matchup right now. But I think that there's a question mark there just because they're going to have a few new guys. Mm-hmm. And how are they going to mesh together? Same thing with the Sixers. The only reason I'm giving the Sixers an edge ahead of the Jazz right now is because of their height. They are the longest team in the world right now. Mm-hmm. And so that's – but I have questions about whether they're going to be able to gel. I think by the end of the season, yes. So I'm going to give them an advantage just because of their height over mm-hmm. the Jazz right now. But I think it's kind of close in both those. At the end of the season, 76ers could be really good. I think they could be the team that goes to the finals from the East. I think it's really down to those two teams from the East. Right. It's either the Bucks or the Sixers. Okay, next is the Lakers. This is the team that I have a lot of question marks about and when they should be there. But I know why they're ranked ahead of them, and that's because of LeBron and Anthony Davis. I think everyone else is a big question mark right now.
So to maybe hijack this a little bit, I'm sorry.
Hijacking.
I divided, again, going back to the East and West, I divided how the power rankings. I took their power rankings and I divided all the Western teams out to see where they had them. And they still have the Jazz fourth in the West, you know, and obviously the Lakers second. No, I don't agree with that. You know, we did our way too early predictions during the summer after free agency when the Jazz made all their splash moves. And I still feel the same way about the Lakers. Yeah, they've got LeBron, but what is LeBron now without a team around him? And I know they've added Anthony Davis, but I still don't feel like there's a great team around LeBron. You know, last year, they were nothing really. And so I have a hard time ranking them second in the West because they got Anthony Davis. Now, nothing against Anthony Davis. The guy is amazing. And the Jazz had a hard time. I know the Nuggets did. Maybe I'm mixing up my teams. The Nuggets had a hard time guarding Anthony Davis last year whenever they played New Orleans. But, man, I just have a hard time putting the Lakers that high. I mean, I have them probably fifth to sixth in the Western Conference.
The reason why I have such a hard time with this one, mm-hmm. because if I use the same logic that I use for the Bucks, then I have to say, yeah, the Lakers are better than Jazz right now. Because I look at Anthony Davis and I'm like, who the heck's going to guard Anthony Davis? Again, he is such a tough guard. If you put Rudy on him, he's going to go outside or he's going to try and beat him off the dribble. If you put someone like Bojan Bogdanovic on him or someone like Jeff Green on him, he's going to punish him inside. Mm-hmm. He really is a nice all-around player.
Right.
So if I'm going to
match up.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I would just say if I'm going to do it, I might put him slightly ahead of the Jazz. But I just have so many question marks about the Lakers right now. Mm-hmm. I almost would say they're almost even. Mm-hmm. Because you've got a Jazz team who I think is almost a complete team when you look at it. Maybe they could use a little bit more size at the four, but almost a complete team when it comes to scoring. And we kind of still need to see how they do on defense. And then you've got the Lakers and you've got these guys. You got LeBron, you got Anthony Davis. They're up on the top, and then it's like everyone else on their team, too, who are good players, but how are they going to react against him? I don't know. I almost want to say they're even. Next up, Rockets. I'm sorry. I've got to put the Rockets ahead of the Jazz right now. Until the Jazz beat the Rockets, I got to put him ahead of, and it's the same thing. It's James Harden. The Jazz just have a hard time. Now, will they have their James Harden stopper? I'm doing that with air quotes right now. And Dante Exum, who helped to slow him down a couple of postseasons ago. Are they going to have him available? You know, that's nice, but the Jazz still have a hard time guarding him. I don't know what to think about Russell Westbrook, but as long as you have James Harden and a bunch of shooters on a team, I'm going to say they're better than the Jazz right now.
Yeah, I could put the Rockets ahead of the Jazz as well. Like you said, James Harden is just one of those guys. He's going to score his 40-plus no matter what. It depends. A lot of it depends on what his teammates do. I am super curious, as I'm sure most of the NBA fan base is, to see how Russ Westbrook and James Harden combine together. And, you know, I saw the quotes this past week that it's basically they're saying that this is going to be a nightmare for everyone else, these two guys, you know. And so we'll see. We'll see how it works. If Harden scores 40, 45 points in a night but doesn't have a surrounding cast to help him along the way, sure, he can win some of those games, but he's not going to take his team very far. You know, that's the way I've always felt about James Harden. If Westbrook and Harden play well off each other, that'll be a really tough team, though.
Yeah.
And they could be one of the top two teams in the West.
And don't forget, they also have Clint Capella.
Yes.
And Clint Capella
played very well against the Jazz in the playoffs 2 years ago.
Yes, he does.
Even last year.
He seems to give the Jazz problems. I almost want to call him Rudy Gobert light.
Yeah.
Because he's not as long, but man, is he bouncy, and he does a lot of good things for you. Mm-hmm. And you still got Eric Gordon on that squad. You have some good shooters on that team. Yep. Yeah, the Rockets right now, I'm going to say, it may not be much, but they're better than the Jazz right now. Okay, it goes Nuggets and then Jazz. Are the Nuggets better than the Jazz?
I say yes. So this is where I got a little heat for this this summer. I said after free agency, the Nuggets did nothing, right? You had all these big moves in the West. The Nuggets did nothing. And I still said the Nuggets are still the number one seed coming out of the Western Conference. Not necessarily the number one team.
Right.
Because I still,
I said the same thing, by the way.
So. I don't believe the Nuggets match up well for a seven-game series with almost anyone. But on any given night, they'll play a very good game. They'll win their 60 games in a season or 55 plus, whatever it is. I think they could be the number one seed in the Western Conference. So in that regard, I would put Denver much higher because they didn't need to do anything in free agency. They have phenomenal players. Nikola Jokic. I mean, I saw the pictures from their media day, which was the same day as the Jazz media day, and a lot of jokes being poked at how chubby and fluffy he is coming into camp, and that's just Nikola Jokic. He's still going to go out, make crazy plays, and be athletic and get triple doubles. And then they've got Gary Harris, who I think is a great two guard. They got Jamal Murray, who's become a really good point guard. You still have Will Barton, who's a great shooter and scorer as well to add to that. And then they're talking about Michael Porter Jr. being this, you know, I still have my doubts about him, but if he pans out to be the player that so many people thought he was going to be when he was going into the draft, that's a deadly team. And so I still think the Nuggets are a very, very good team. The Jazz, I think, match up very well with the Nuggets. If the Jazz play the Nuggets in a post-game series, the Jazz are winning that series, even if the Nuggets are the number one seed. However, so if we go power ranking-wise, maybe, yes, the Jazz are a better team than Nuggets. If we're going seeding-wise, I'm going to put the Nuggets higher than the Jazz right now.
I'm probably going to put the Nuggets ahead of the Jazz right now. I'm going to go because of what you talked about and what I talked about a few weeks ago when we previewed the Nuggets. It's continuity. They have all that continuity coming back. Yeah. They could have Michael Porter Jr. who's going to come in and help them out. I think they could be the number one seed, and I think, in my opinion, going into the season, I still think they could be the number one team in the West right now. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it goes at the end of the season, or as we said, every quarter. Maybe after every quarter we can talk about it. But right now, I think they're the best. Jazz number seven. Warriors number eight. A little surprised that the Warriors are down at number eight?
Or
you think they're better than the Jazz?
No, I don't. I think the Warriors, I think that's about where, on the whole NBA scale, that's about where they should be. I think in the West, you're looking at about a fifth or a sixth team right now, and a lot of that has to do with they lost Kevin Durant, and you're going into the season and probably a lot of the season without Klay Thompson as well. So this is Steph Curry and Steph Curry all the way, and he's got some cast around him that could be decent, but this is not the Warriors that were expected to be the number one seed every year for the past handful of seasons. This is a much different Western Conference now, and the Warriors are gonna have to fight. They're gonna have to fight to get home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. I think the Jazz are a better team than the Golden State Warriors right now.
I think the interesting part was, I think they are too, but right now, odds-wise, the Warriors, because they've won, three of the past five?
Yeah.
Three of the past five titles. Because of that, they are the favorite, or they have a better odds in Vegas right now than the Jazz do. So there you go. I would probably say the Jazz are better than the Warriors. Mm-hmm. Again, we'll have to see after 40. I'd probably say after 40 games, it could switch depending on how things shake out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say if it's going to switch, it's probably not going to be until after, I'd say, around the 60-game mark. In ESPN's power rankings, they basically said, who's going to be the player that's going to break out for the Jazz this year? Tim McMahon from ESPN, he featured Royce O'Neal.
Yeah.
And he thought that he was going to be the breakout player, and he emphasized his defense.
Yes.
He emphasized how he's not a negative on offense. And he also said that he could be a starter this year. So, first of all, Sam, is that your breakout player, too? Is Royce O'Neal your breakout player for the Jazz this season? If not, who is it? And is he a starter on this team?
So I'll start with the last question. No, he's not a starter on this team. But that's great. Because Royce O'Neal, I agree, he's a great defender. You need someone to come in and bring a spark on that side of the ball. Royce O'Neal's that guy. He can match up against a lot of scorers on other teams and harass those guys and make it difficult for him. He's a good shooter. I think he's really developed that part of his game. So he's a guy that can come in. He can score the basketball. He can create off the ball, too. I mean, he's shown a lot of ability. Let's say the Jazz didn't go out and get a Bojan Bogdanović. that might have opened the door maybe a little more for Royce to get into Lent, maybe even the starting lineup. But with the players the Jazz got, I just don't see any scenario where Royce is coming in as a starter. And there's a chance he's maybe even the seventh guy in, not even the sixth guy. I still like Jeff Green a lot, too, coming off the bench and seeing a lot of minutes in this rotation. And I could even see Jeff Green starting and Boyan or Joe Ingles coming off the bench. So they've got a lot of versatility in what they can do with some of these new guys that they've brought in. And as a result, it could affect what Royce is – I don't want to say what he's able to do, but maybe affects limits his minutes in certain situations. Royce O'Neal still, I think, takes a step forward in his career this season. Breakout, I don't know what the definition of breakout is. For me, I guess my definition would be more of who's going to be a surprising player from the Jazz this year instead of a breakout player. I'm going to go with Emmanuel Mudiay. And this is okay. This is a guy who was a very high draft pick for the Nuggets. He was 18 years old when he was drafted a few years back. They had high hopes and expectations for him, and he had flashes of downright, yes, this is lottery pick brilliance guy. And then he had his moments where he just kind of was vanilla and just kind of faded into the background. I think a lot of it had to do with his compatibility with coaching. Last year, statistically, was the best year of his career, and now he's coming to Utah in a situation where he's not expected to carry any loads. He's just expected to come in, provide a spark, provide a breath for someone, do something off the bench. And I think in those moments, there's opportunities for Mudiay to show what he's been able to do and what he could do. He had a game early in his career. I don't remember if it was rookie year or his second year against the Boston Celtics in Denver. In the first quarter, he scored 25 points in the first quarter, went on to score 30 something plus, but he showed his ability from everything. He was able to take the guy one-on-one to the basket. He stepped back, dropped mid-range jumpers, fadeaways, and then he drilled a whole bunch of threes at the end of that quarter too. And Mudiay is a guy that he also can see the floor, pass the ball. I really like him as a reserve guard on this Jazz team, and I think there's a good chance people might raise their eyebrows a little bit and be like, oh, that was a good get by the Jazz late in free agency. So that's my guy to keep an eye on.
Going back to Royce O'Neal real quick, let me say this. I'm going to have to agree with you. I mean, I like Royce O'Neal a lot, but I don't see him starting over. Let's just go through the guards. Yeah. I don't see him starting over Mike Conley. There's no way the Jazz traded for Mike Conley for him to come off the bench. No. We know that's not going to happen.
Right.
We're going to talk about Mike here in a second. He's not going to start ahead of Donovan Mitchell.
No.
Is he going to start ahead of Joe Ingles if Joe Ingles is starting at the three? I'm going to say no.
Right.
I think that Royce does a lot of good things for you. Is he a better defender than Joe? Yes, he is a better defender than Joe. But is he a better overall player than Joe?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that Joe is still a better shooter, and he can still create off the dribble and do a lot of things for a lot of guys. I think Royce is getting better there, but I think Joe is still better. So I'm going to go with Joe. And if I'm going to go all the way down to the four, is he better than, I'm going to say, the other guy they signed, which is Bojan Bogdanović?
Yeah.
I'm going to say no there, too.
Right.
So I don't see where he starts. Is he going to be effective this next season? Is he going to get a lot of playing time? Yes, I think he is.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's the first, I'm going to say this, the first guard in, wing that's going to come in. I would not be surprised if Royce is the first guy in, no matter who goes out first, whether it's Mike Conley, whether it's Donovan Mitchell, whether it's Joe Ingles. I'm not going to be surprised if within that rotation right there, if he's the first guy in there. But I just don't see him starting. I could see him finishing some games depending on what's going on, too. I could see Royce doing that, again, because he's a good defender.
Yes.
And it would be nice to have him on the floor. If the Jazz went really small, I could see him on the floor. I don't know who's going to be off the floor, but I could see him on the floor in certain circumstances. My breakout player, man, I was trying to come up with one. I'm like, I can't say Donovan. I want to say Donovan Mitchell.
Right.
But I'm still a little wary about his shooting. So I can't really say Donovan Mitchell. I can't say Conley or Ingles. I don't think those guys are going to be breakout players because I think we've seen what they can do. It's just whether they're going to be that little bit better. I'm not sure I'm going to say Bojan Bogdanović. This is going to sound weird. And maybe it's because I'm going to have a story on him on KSLSports.com for Friday, and that's Dante Exum.
Okay.
And the reason why I'm going to pick Dante Exum as the breakout player is he has been Coach Snyder's whipping boy at times. He has been a guy that's been hammered. He's been injured a lot. He's had so many things go against him. But to me, looking at him, I know he's not going to be healthy going into the preseason, and we don't know where we're going to get him. But looking at him, he just reminds me of a guy that is calm and at peace with himself. Mm-hmm. And it looks like he just needs to get on the court now and just not be the guy, but be himself, be yeah. that guy. And what I loved hearing so far is that they're not saying, go out and be a point guard, go out and be this person. They're just saying, we just want you to be on the floor and we want you to impact the game in whatever way possible. And so maybe I look at that and I say, I think it's going to be Dante Exum, though I like your pick of Emmanuel yeah. Mudiay, and I'd like to see Mudiay mm-hmm. improve his game. If he improves a lot, he's gone. I think Mudiay's oh, yeah. gone. Yeah. I think he's going to go try. Because he even said
to be a starter.
Yeah, he even said, he said, you know, this kind of made me laugh. He basically, it took a lot in me to basically say, I don't want to be a starter and I'm going to go to the Jazz. I'm like, well, congratulations to you, Emmanuel. You came to self-realization. Right. Hallelujah. I'm glad you're able to slap yourself on the back there. But it's true. It did take a lot of courage or whatever you want to say to take a really cheap contract and to basically come in and say, I want to learn and I want to win. Now
he's
still
very young. He's 23 years old.
Yeah. So if he does well, I mean, maybe the Jazz make a move so that they can keep him.
Yeah.
But I mean, in reality, he's still going to be a bench player.
Yes.
If he stays with the Jazz, if he proves himself, he could probably go and find himself a really, really nice contract on another team next season.
How's it? I'm going to add one more name as you were going through some names. One that maybe I wouldn't have thought of before, but I started to think of. As breakout, again, what's your definition of breakout?
Yeah.
But a guy who I think could maybe surprise people offensively, I think Rudy Gobert might take a step forward offensively this year. They've been talking about how much he's been working on his shot so that he can take his inside game out a little bit more. But not only that, the addition of Mike Conley, I think, makes Rudy Gobert even better in the post than what we've seen in the past. So, maybe he averages a few more points per game this year.
Hey,
we'll
I can go for that. I didn't even, you know, as I was going through that, I just discounted Rudy automatically because all I keep thinking is, wow, they added more offense. He doesn't have to do as much.
Right.
But in reality, if he's able to improve his offensive output and keep the really close, I don't know if we can keep the same efficiency if he's bringing his game out and he's shooting a little bit more. But if you can keep it somewhere right around there, sure, I could crown him the breakout player of the year. Speaking of Mike Conley, we've talked about him quite a bit here. You went and talked to him. You went and talked to Coach the other day. Mm-hmm. There is nothing negative so far that I've heard about Mike Conley. In the past 4 days since he's been here and the media has been able to talk to him. He has ingratiated himself to the media. He's ingratiated himself to his fellow players. His coach loves him. I mean, first day, he's like, well, Mike Conley's an elite point guard. You're like, well, how can you say that for a guy who's never been in an all-star game?
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, if you want to say elite, you could say he's elite on the floor. He's elite off the floor.
Yeah.
He's elite just being there because he makes this team better by doing all the little things that the Jazz need him to do.
Yeah, and I think when I think of Mike Conley, I'll make a little comparison to the NFL here. I think of a guy like Peyton Manning. So Mike Conley's a legend in Memphis for what he did with the Grizzlies. He's always going to be remembered there. He's always going to be a Memphis Grizzly. One day they'll probably raise his jersey to the rafters in Memphis or put his name in their Ring of Fame or whatever it is they do there. You know, when he's done with the Jazz, if that's in 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, whatever, he's still going to have a big place in his heart for Memphis, right? But what he's going to be able to do here and what I think he's already done, the community loves him. He has totally embraced the community, Utah, Salt Lake City. He's totally embraced it. And he's embracing the fact that, you know what, this isn't necessarily my team. I'm going to come in and I'm going to be coachable. Quinn Snyder said yesterday at practice that it's unusual to trust someone this quickly, but he already trusts Mike Conley without any hesitation. And I mean, that's only 2 days of practice. 2 days of practice. And he has full trust in Mike Conley to be the guard and leader of this offense or to run the team down the floor, you know, whatever it is he needs to trust him in. And Mike Conley, in return, said that he's never had a coach like Quinn Snyder, who's so detail-oriented, who's going to pay attention to even the littlest details and will stop practice and stop a drill in the middle of something because of something very small that someone overlooked or forgot to do. And he'll call people out on it. He'll even turn to the bench, the guys watching the drill, and point someone over there and say, hey, what are we missing? You know, and Mike Conley said he loves that about Quinn Snyder. So the fact that those two, the coach and his coach on the floor, have already kind of gelled together and their minds are becoming one, I think that's a huge positive for the Utah Jazz.
I want your opinion about this, and maybe I'm off on this. I'm not saying – I'm going to qualify this really quickly, saying it's not that Mike Conley is not a competitor.
Right.
But do you think that they are able to gel so well, not because both of them are extremely smart when it comes to the game of basketball, but because Quinn is so intense and wants to get his point across. But then you have Mike Conley – and when I think of Mike Conley, I think good player, smart, leader, but he's just the opposite when you say intense. I mean, I think he's intense because he wants to win, but he seems also pretty laid back. Like,
no kidding.
He's not that guy who's out yelling at other players. He is going to pull someone aside and say, okay, let's do this, let's do this, and let's do this. That's why I think that they could work so well together, because you've got the intense coach, but you got the point guard who's like, okay, this is what the coach wants us to do. This is how we're going to do it.
Yeah, let's just do it, guys. You know, yeah, totally see that kind of guy where he – coach is going to yell and get his point to Mike Conley, and then Mike Conley is going to be a bridge to a lot of these guys who may not receive it the same way. He'll be able to deliver the same message in maybe a different tone, a different stance, a calmer that still gets across the way it needs to. So I agree with that. That's a great observation and point. And yeah, Mike Conley, he's totally chill, totally laid back, but he seems to be fitting everything that he needs to with this Jazz team and the coaching staff so perfectly.
I could see Memphis fans, because of what Mike Conley did there in Memphis, cheering for the Jazz this year in a roundabout way, because let's be honest, Memphis is not going to make the playoffs this year, but I could totally see them supporting the Jazz for two reasons. Mike Conley's here, and number two, the Jazz are that small market franchise. Yeah. I know that there are others out there. I get it. Milwaukee, I know they're out there. I don't know if I consider Denver a small market franchise. Okay, let's just pass on. Yeah. But, I mean, think about it. Just the top nine teams that we talked about, who do we have that are small market franchises up there? It's the Bucks and the Jazz. Mm-hmm. And in reality, that's it. If you want to say Denver, that's fine.
Yeah.
But those are the only two small market franchises that you have right there. I think that they could totally get on board with the Jazz, because it's just like, we need small market franchises to do well, because that's going to help the NBA and help the rest of us out a little bit. So I could see Memphis fans kind of cheering. And I'm a guy who wasn't sure about Mike Conley, just because, again, I'm going to say I'm going to be interested to see how those two, meaning Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley, how they play against bigger lineups. I want to see how that goes. But as of right now, you know, it's all bliss right now, so it's kind of fun.
Always is.
Sam, thanks a lot for joining us on the Jazz Notes podcast. Thanks a lot for downloading and listening to the Jazz Notes podcast. We'll have more coming up next week. Make sure you listen to us. I think we're going to have some new hosts, too, so hopefully that's coming up here soon. Thanks a lot. We're powered by KSL Sports. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.